Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this beautiful day that you've given us to gather here and hear the force of thy word. Lord, may everything we do be in accordance to thy will. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Birthdays. Her birthday was on the funeral day. So I'll always, I'll remember my wife Tracy.
Oh, right.
It was her birthday when we buried Mom this week, so that would be nice.
Good morning. It's good to see you all. And we have guests from West Virginia today. The Pattons have Sean and all of her family here. And we're good and glad to see them. We got, I can't tell who, if we have any other guests, but we're happy they're here.
Connie's back today.
Yeah, we got her.
Well, I'm getting to her. Yeah.
Oh, we jumped the gun on
that. That is special. There is some good news on the prayer list about Connie, and she is here today, and we're awfully glad to see her. That's right. Yeah. We have flowers from the funeral of Gail Teeter, and also a note from the family. Thank you all for all the love, calls, visits, and prayers during this difficult time. Thank you for all the food you provided after the service. Mama loved little Hickman, loved each one of you. Thank you for the beautiful chimes. And it's signed by Greg, Christie, and the family. So all those things are appreciated. I don't think I have anything else to add to the prayer list. Just a few changes. If you look it over, you will see the changes. We just celebrated a holiday, if you recall, just 2 days ago. And, you know, in celebrating Independence Day, the words that begin the Declaration of Independence are often read. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You've heard these words before, I'm sure. But one of the most important words in that sentence is inalienable. It's not a word we use every day, unless we're reading the Declaration of Independence, but it means inalienable means something that cannot be taken away from the person who has it. And the framers of the Constitution saw these rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness as rights that were given by God and could not be taken away by a government. When I thought about that, I thought about the rights that our Savior possessed. They were inalienable in that they could not be taken away from him. But as a matter of fact, he gave them away. Paul says in second chapter of Philippians that Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the form of a servant, and he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. So when Jesus shared that Last Supper with his disciples, he broke the bread. He said, "This is my body given for you." Nobody took anything away from him. He gave it willingly out of love. And that's what we remember here with these emblems of his body and his blood.
As we go through life here on earth, we encounter many things that's not pleasant to us, but we have to believe in your word that you are in control of everything that goes on. We know that these things happen to our families, like death. We realize that the people in Texas that was camping at a church Christian thing got washed away, only two or three little girls. So we know things like that happen. But having you in our heart makes it easier to deal with it, because you tell us that you prepare a place for us. But it doesn't make it any easier when we lose one. But now, Lord, we want to thank you for your son Jesus and what he means to us. Because if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have an opportunity to enjoy eternal life. But since the sacrifice was made, we have that opportunity. And you put no pressure on us to accept that invitation, but it is there put before us. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the many blessings, Lord. We thank you for the love and compassion that you show us each day, Lord. Lord, we pray that you bless this offering to do your will, Lord. Bless the gift and the giver, Lord. Lord, we live in a world of uncertainty, Lord. Nothing is granted for tomorrow, whether it be peace, health, finances, whatever, Lord. But there is a lot of certainty in you, Lord. You are the only certainty that we can have, Lord. You promised us many promises that you never leave us or forsake us. And Lord, you promised that if we give our lives to you, Lord, we'll be with you in heaven and be reunited. Lord, we thank you for the certainty that you add to an uncertain world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You've noticed we have a beautiful array of flowers here from Gail Teeter's funeral, and we appreciate having those with us today. We also have received at least two so far contributions to the church and notes of appreciation, and these are on our bulletin board, except for this one from Christy and Greg, but we'll try to have it there too. You can check those on the way out. Yes.
Sharon and I would like to thank everybody that stopped us for the meal afterwards in regards to getting the building. We had plenty of food there and helped us straighten up and stuff.
I cannot imagine how much work went into preparing all the food that was offered after the first funeral, and I do appreciate all you folks who helped with that, just as Charlene does. Thank you very much. Let's, excuse me, let's join in singing hymn number 128.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of love. Let me more than beauty sing, wonderful words of love. Words of love and beauty, teach me faith and beauty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the blessed one gives to all, wonderful words of love. Sinner, lift to the loving heart, wonderful words of life. All so freely given, truly cannot compare. Beautiful words, wonderful words of life.
Let's follow that with number 227, another song, At the Cross. It's great to celebrate great events, and of course Calvary was the greatest, aside from the resurrection. Let's turn to number 267 and sing just the first verse as our prayer hymn this morning. Father, we thank you today, not only for those who established this congregation, not only for those who developed this remarkable nation, but we thank you especially for those who planted the seed of faith in this land. Those who came here seeking the freedom to worship you as guided by your word, we look back on what they said and what they intended this country to be. And Lord, we're sometimes alarmed at what it has become. So we pray that reverence for you and your word, the Spirit of Christ, the redeeming gospel of love may be magnified and multiplied among us. Help us to honor you in all that we say and do and think, so that the intention of our founders will be realized, and it may become obvious that there is a people of God here. While this nation is not perfect, we know many in other lands risk life and limb to come here and enjoy the liberty and the blessings of God. We pray that seeds of faith can be planted in those nations too, so that freedom and godliness can be known and enjoyed in many places in this world. Our hearts are troubled at some of the things that happen in our world, not just in our nation, but in our world. And we see suffering and devastation on every hand. But help us to see, Lord, the glory of your presence and the beauty of your love and the bounty of your grace. Help us to have the truth of the gospel. Share it with others who need it just as much as we do. Forgive our sins, Lord, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me if I keep clearing my throat. A frog seems to have taken up residence there. There's a passage of scripture I want to read this morning from Psalm 33. They put 4th of July on a Friday this year, and the closest Sunday to it is today. It's kind of hard to celebrate a holiday after it's over, but maybe it's better than doing it a week ahead of time. Anyway, this scripture from Psalm 33, beginning at verse 12, has a lot to say to our nation today. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do, no king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We walk in hope. For the Lord, he is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. That, of course, was a prayer for the nation of Israel. But you know, I think it's not too far off to pray that same prayer for the United States of America. There's a minister named Roger Thomas who found a surprise one year for the 4th of July. He said, "I'll never forget the 4th of July we spent where nobody else celebrated. No parades, no parties, no fireworks. It just didn't seem right." Of course, there was a good reason. He says, Rose and I were in Canada on that particular 4th of July. We had just started a month-long camping adventure along the Alcan Highway, the Alaska Highway, for our 25th wedding anniversary. And we'd crossed from Montana into Alberta. Late in the afternoon on July 1st, we pulled into a municipal campground in High River, just south of Calgary. I was surprised to see the remnants of a parade from earlier in the day and posters for a big fireworks display that night. Did Canada operate on a different calendar? July 1st? I didn't have a clue, but I soon learned that July 1st is Canada Day, their version of our Independence Day. And that's when they celebrate their birthday, not ours. So he says, at dusk, we made our way to another park and watched the fireworks. We spent the next 2 days sightseeing in Edmonton, the capital of Alberta. On the 4th of July, we set up camp in a rainstorm at Dawson Creek, British Columbia, the starting point of the 1,500-mile-long Alcan Highway. He says, I was thoroughly disappointed. July 4th came and went. It was just like any other day for all those Canadians. Go figure. Well, even for Americans, the 4th of July can be just another day off. You realize that. We easily forget the reason for some of our celebrations. And the real purpose sort of fades into the background behind the parades and the picnics. Yeah, and the fireworks. Younger kids could think that 4th of July is fireworks day. Most adults know better. But let me remind you, last Friday was Independence Day for America. But in the grand scheme of history, you know, America is a mere child among nations compared to Egypt, China, Japan, Rome, Greece. America is a sort of a Johnny-come-lately. Consider how brief our history really is. Our country was born 249 years ago. And you've heard a lot of talk about celebrating our 250th anniversary next year. But that's not many generations, you see. When Thomas Jefferson, he was primary author of the Declaration of Independence, and he became president of the country, but when Thomas Jefferson died, Abraham Lincoln was a young man of 17. And when Lincoln was assassinated 39 years later, Woodrow Wilson was a boy of 8 years old. And when Wilson died in 1924, Ronald Reagan was 12. So the lives of just a few presidents span our whole nation's whole history. America is pretty young. And yet we stand tall among nations of the world, especially since the collapse of the Soviet Union. America has become the most powerful nation on earth, or at least one of them. Now, many people don't like that, but that's a reality. We are also the most prosperous, the poorest people in this country have a better life than many people in other parts of the world. And that could make people jealous. It makes many people envious. But we're also the freest nation on earth, and that's the one that we celebrate. If the truth be told, there are not many places that have the same quality of freedom that our nation does. I think there's another important fact to mention. We're not just the most powerful, most prosperous, freest nation on earth. We are the most blessed And that's what I want to talk to you about. We are the most blessed nation on earth, I do believe. To say that is to acknowledge that our being great is not the most important thing in the world. The most important factor is we are blessed by God. And we have so much for which we can't take credit. If we did, we'd be arrogant and ungrateful. We are indebted to those who have gone before us. Most of all, we are indebted to God, who has showered blessing upon blessing, year after year, upon us. And that's what the hymn said that we sang last Sunday. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, America, America, God shed His grace on thee. We pray that God will continue to shed His grace on our nation. And we have so much to be thankful for. God has blessed America. Our founders and early leaders believed that. They believed that the very existence of this new nation came by the hand of God. Now, in recent years, many have attempted to rewrite history and declared that faith had nothing to do with it. They say Washington, Jefferson, Franklin had little sympathy for established religion. That wasn't a big factor. That's why they erected a wall of separation between church and state. Truth is, our founders didn't want the government telling churches what to do. They contended for freedom of religion, not freedom from religion. And many of the first American settlers were religious refugees. They came seeking a place where they could express their faith without government harassment. The pilgrims who landed at Plymouth, Massachusetts. Before they landed, they wrote up the Mayflower Compact. And in that document are these words: having undertaken this journey for the glory of God and for the advancement of the Christian faith, we do solemnly and mutually, in the presence of God, covenant and combine ourselves together. Sounds like they wanted God to have a big part in this. Well, you just read the birth certificate of our nation, the Declaration of Independence, and you will see that this nation was not founded on secular principles. It was founded on faith. We may not know everything about the personal religious beliefs of our founding fathers, but we do know that their thinking and their convictions were steeped in the Bible. Several years ago, the political science department at the University of Houston completed a 10-year-long research project. Now, these historians scoured over 15,000 documents from America's founding fathers, trying to discover what most influenced their thinking. What do you think it was? What was the biggest factor in their thinking when they decided to come here and start a new nation? Well, they isolated over 3,000 direct quotations from the Bible in the writings of these men. Another 60%, what did I say? That's not right. 34% of the things they said came directly from the Bible. That's what I mean. And another 60% were from writers who frequently quoted the Bible. So the researchers concluded that the Bible was clearly the most influential source for our founding fathers. and for their thinking and their hopes and dreams. That's why it's not surprising why one of the first acts of the United States Congress was to authorize the printing of 20,000 Bibles to be distributed among the American Indians. So, faith played a great part in the beginning of this nation. And it plays a great part still, although there are some objectors. But in the 1830s, there was a French scholar named Alexis de Tocqueville who traveled to America, and he was interested to know what made this young democracy different from nations in Europe. At the end of his trip, he is alleged to have written, these words. He said, "I've toured America. I've seen most of what you have to offer. I've seen the richness of the fields and the wealth of your mines. I've seen your industrial might, the beauties of the rivers, the streams, the lakes, the grandeur of the mountains. I've noticed the abundance of the forests and the marvelous climate with which you are blessed. In none of these things did I see the cause for the greatness of America. It wasn't until I went into your churches that I saw the reason for America's greatness. America is great because America is good. And as long as America is good, America will be great. If it ever ceases to be good, it will cease to be great." Now those were written over 100 years ago. And I think they're still true. George Washington knew this. In his farewell address, he said, "Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports." He said, your faith has a great influence on your life. John Adams, the second president, said, it is religion and morality alone which can establish the principles upon which freedom can surely stand. He said, our Constitution is made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other kind of people. Even Benjamin Franklin was, he was not known as an evangelical Christian, but he was certainly not an atheist. He was not known for his religious pronouncements, but he said, only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. He said, as governments become more vicious and corrupt, they need to have someone controlling them. Which brings together two texts from the Bible. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and righteousness exalts the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. America has been blessed, but we don't ever dare assume that God's blessing is guaranteed regardless of which way this nation goes. General Omar Bradley, some of you will remember him as a famous World War II general and the very first chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He warned years ago, America today is running on the momentum of a godly ancestry. And when that momentum runs out, God help America. Well, God has blessed America. God has helped America. But that doesn't mean that he always will, regardless of what America does. I don't think there's anybody in this room that's not concerned about the direction our nation goes and the society that our children and grandchildren will inherit. Over 100 years, one historian made this observation. He said, the average age of the world's greatest civilizations has been 200 years. These nations have progressed through the following sequence, from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependency, and from dependency back into bondage. Followers of Jesus Christ must never be satisfied because our nation has been blessed by God. We need to work and pray and live so that those who come after us will know these same blessings. We want the next generation and the one after that to be able to live in a God-blessed nation. Two final reminders. As proud and appreciative as we are about our nation, we dare never forget that our ultimate allegiance does not belong to the American flag, but to the kingdom of God. Our citizenship is in heaven, declared the Apostle Paul. The Bible says that. Our kingdom is not defined by certain geographical limits or political philosophies or ethnic makeup. All who believe and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ are fellow citizens of the kingdom of God. And that's where our ultimate allegiance belongs. But secondly, like all believers in every nation on the earth, we should want to be good citizens of that nation. We know our Savior's reputation rests largely on our reputation. If we're known as Christians, people will form their opinions of Jesus Christ on what we are. But listen to these words of Scripture from the Apostle Peter. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as to the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and commend those who do right. For it's God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God and honor the King. And that certainly is the responsibility of those of us who live in the land of the free and the home of the blessed. That's us. And we have a responsibility to God for what we do with this nation that He has so richly blessed. Our invitation hymn this morning is number 450. And I'd invite you to turn to that and sing it with me as we stand. Just the first verse. Number 450.
Living on Jesus,
Well, I wish you all had a happy 4th of July. Let's pray. Our loving Lord, please accept our thanks for the land where we live and the freedoms we enjoy so easily. Forgive us when we fail to appreciate your blessings. Forgive our many sins, but help us to be a light in the darkness, to lead many to find your redeeming love in Jesus Christ. For we ask all this in His name. Amen.
Thank you.